There's several things that kind of caught my attention this week, and the Lord just speaking to me and showing me things. And so when I sat down, this was before the Yellow Jacket attack, but when I sat down, you know, just to kind of see where he wanted me to go this morning, wasn't quite sure where I was going to go. But I began to read a devotional. I don't know if you've seen the little devotionals on the Bible app that are in there. And there's one called Trusting God's Process. And that really just kind of spoke to me this morning. You know, we talk about trusting God all the time. That's good and easy advice to give to somebody else, right? I mean, you know, you just got to trust God in it. Just hang on, trust God in it. You know, and that's a good thing to say. That's good advice to give. But then when we kind of look in the mirror sometimes and run through some situations, it don't come quite as easy. You know, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. But trust is one of the most important attributes of a Christian walk, if not the important, most important. But let's first of all look at this. I kind of do this every now and then. The Lord will show me a word just to look the definition up. Trust means the firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. Trust means the firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the strength of someone. And that's what trust is. And we talk about trusting in God. Those are the things that we're saying that, okay, yes, you know, Lord, I trust in you. But and you know what? This morning might be just me kind of speaking of things I'm going through. Maybe you guys have got it all down. That's great. But you get to hear me this morning. But I know that there's times that in the midst of the situation, I'm thinking, you know, trust God, but I'm looking at the situation at the same time thinking, oh no, you know, and there's a battle that goes on in my mind about trust God, hang on, trust God, God's good, and I know that. I mean, there's not a question in my mind that he is good and that I can trust him. So the battle is here. It's somewhere between here and the floor, you know, that I battle with and just kind of saying, okay. Again, it's easy to tell somebody, but sometimes our walk in that is just a difficult place to be. I was speaking with a good friend of mine, a strong, strong Christian, and if I told you his name, most of you guys would know him. But we were talking this week, and he was telling me about something that was happening in his life. And even though, you know, he said, I trust God, he said, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. You know, and because of that, my mind kind of wants to go here and wants to go there. And, you know, and instead of just kind of resting in the trust that God will take care of this thing. And he's a great guy and has just, I've seen his life. He loves the Lord and he follows the Lord. But he said, I just need to share this with you. You know, and said that I don't know, the company that he was working with changed hands and, you know, he didn't know how that was going to affect him or what was going to happen. And he said, you know, I've had these what ifs just keep going through my mind, you know, and yet I know that regardless, God, I can trust him in this. But it's in those what-if stages, it's in those what-if places sometimes that we really struggle, or at least I really struggle with just, you know, focusing on him. And that's really what you got to do when you get in the middle of those situations when you're just not sure what's going to happen or what the outcome might be. Is you just got to keep, and a lot of time I'll do this, I'll just say, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord. Not that I'm got some kind of chant thing going on here. I'm just trying to remind myself, okay, Donnie, I can trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Trying to get it down into myself that I can trust him and what what he's doing and not trying to reason through everything that's going on. Trusting God and his process is key to our faith journey. And yet, sometimes for most of us, our experiences in our past leave us scared to death and unsure of what might happen. We were singing this Remember song. I felt like the Lord told me this. Says, yes, remember what I've done, but don't live in the past. Okay? Don't live in the past. That part, you don't have to remember. That part, you don't have to. You give it to him and you move on. But so many of us, because of what we've gone through, we've been hurt in relationships. We've been hurt in situations where we really trusted somebody to come through for us and they didn't. And then all of a sudden we get a scar from that thing. And if we're not careful and if we don't let God take that and heal that, then that scar will actually affect us in trusting him in our relationship with him. So trust is a big thing. It's a big deal. It's not, I just feel like sometimes we just kind of, you know, throw it out there so easy instead of really stop and say, you know, hey, what does this trust really, really mean here? I don't know if any of you have ever been in that place or not, but anyway, I have. So I want to ask this question, and it may seem a little childish, a little anyway, but why is trust so important? Why is trust so important? Well, if you look at the Bible, there's lots of scriptures that talk about trusting God. Okay? But you really don't have to go any further than Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That can be difficult to do when your heart's aching, heart's hurting because of something that's happened. Maybe a loss of someone or whatever. But it still says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Most of the time, it's our understanding, it's our experience, it's the things that have happened in the past that affect our actions. And maybe even the way we think. But lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. You may desire to do that, but sometimes the pressures of the unknown makes us not do that. Makes us fear, makes us be anxious. But then it says, and he will make your path straight. That's what we're hoping for, right? That's what our goal is that he will make our path straight. I want to read the Passion Translation. It says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. And with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Doesn't matter which translation you look at, the bottom line is trust in him. Trust in him. He'll make your path straight, or he will lead you in every decision, whatever. That is what we need to do. We need to be at that place that we trust him to lead us in the decisions and the things that come up. Listen, I'm kind of a do-it-yourself person. You know, a handyman, a jack of all trades, master of none, you know. So not too many things I get into that I can't figure out, you know. And let me just say, well, anyway, please hear me. That's not a boast, okay? I don't want to be tested in that this week. But but I can get a lot of things done, seemingly, and kind of can figure some things out, and I do attribute that to God and the things that he's allowed me to walk through over the years, you know, to learn those things and all. But the bottom line is that, you know, I want him to guide my life. I mean, I want him to help me make those decisions, because I know that his decisions are foolproof. mine might have a little bit of knowledge in it, you know, but then they got me in it, and that ain't a good thing. But anyway, we got to trust him, and we got to trust him in the process. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we're looking for right to start off with. And sometimes that is a process that he takes us through as we go through life. I just see where I wrote down here, my biggest battle is me, which it is. I am my biggest battle most of the time. But I got to thinking about, and I guess maybe I've even been dealing with some of these things that I didn't necessarily realize it until I just began to speak to him about it. But, you know, as a body of believers, especially this body, we've gone down and we're going down some paths that that have affected us. I believe that it has maybe even affected our vision a little bit. I feel like maybe even the little bit of the wind has been taken out of our sail. And again, I may just be speaking about me, but I know this is kind of the things I've gone to. Losing will hurt. And for you guys who don't know, it's a young man that's part of this body, about 40, 41 years old, that died suddenly of cancer. That hurt. That took a toll. Drew, still being in the bed, with no change, no evidence of change, causes me to question, why? What is going on? What? And I say this, and I don't think I necessarily mean, what are we missing, or what haven't we done? Because God's sovereign. And I can trust him in the midst of that, even though I have questions and wonder what's going on. John losing his sight. I mean, come on, there's recorded in the Word of God people's sight being restored. And I got to admit that has taken a little bit of wind out of my sail, because I believe that God wants to heal him. I believe that God wants to raise Drew up. But then, you know, I guess in the me, I see it not happening. And I question that. And I wonder why. But yet, I see things, your mama getting healed. I mean, she was supposed to be 6 feet under right now, according to the doctors. And Debbie's not here, but there was something, I couldn't remember what it was, but remember about a year, yeah, that she just got, right sitting right here, got healed of. And I see those things, and I don't know how many of you saw that video. Jack actually showed it. We showed it at the home group Wednesday night, of the little girl, I believe it's in Brazil, that I'm telling you, on video, her foot grew out 3 inches. I mean, the video was so close to it that it looked weird it happened. And I look at those things and say, God, you're still doing it. You're still doing it. You're still in that business. I don't know. I don't have answers to some of those things. But I do know that we can trust him. I do know that we have to trust him. Romans 15:13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thought that goes through my mind is, how can you have joy? And how can you have peace? I think of John every day, wakes up, checking to see, can I see? And when that vision is not there, I wonder, how can he have joy? And how can he have peace? That question crosses my mind, and I'm close enough to John that John and I have talked, you know, and he gets up every day and trusts God. Maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the day. But when Paul wrote these words to the Romans, I think he knew a little secret in there, because there's a little two-letter word in there that says to have this joy and peace, he says, as you trust him. As you trust him. If you take trust out of it, you're in a sinking ship, guys. Again, I looked up as. Now, everybody knows what as means most of the time. Used to indicate that something happens during the time when something is taking place. So I added this in there. Used to indicate that something happens, trust, during the time when something, things that we don't understand, is taking place. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. It's an active thing. It's a journey. It's what we're on. It's what we live through and go through every day. As I go through this day, I trust him. I trust him. I trust him. And as I get into those situations that I can't explain or I can't put my arm around or I can't fix, that's really the test of that trust. And we have to hang on to that. And we've got to trust him in the middle of it when it looks like all chaos is going on. You know, the Bible says we're saved, but we're also being saved. Okay? So we trust, but we're also trusting. We're trusting as we walk through life, as we trust him. I started to say, I wish I knew the answer to some of these, but then, whenever I wrote it down, I said, I think I wish I knew the answers to some of these. Because I'm not sure that I really want to know the answer to some of them. But here's what I can trust. I can trust that he's big enough to let me know what I need to know and what I don't need to know. And though it may seem that I got a lot of questions, that same trust comes into that aspect of it. Okay, God, you know I don't understand this, or you know I wonder why. But I can trust you to show me what I need to know at this point of this life's journey that I'm in. And we have to hang on to that. We've got to trust that. So here I am today, or here we are today. Do we let our progress, our growth in him, be stymied by our lack of knowing why something happened or something didn't happen? Or do we go forward? Or do we go forward? See, walking with him is all about going forward. It's not about looking back. It's all about going forward. What he's got in front of us. What's the next thing? And being aware of his presence and his the evidence of the things that he's doing. Listen, I have seen since John's situation, since Will's dying, I have still seen God move miraculously. And while that hurt, I can't let that hurt stymie me from moving on with what God has for us. Does that make sense? I don't want that to be cold by any means, okay? Because I can't imagine what Heather is going through right now. But I tell you, what's coming out of her mouth is she is trusting God. She's trusting Him. And it makes me think, oh, to have that trust. Because she's at a place that is tough. It is tough. Do I exercise the option of my trust in Him and press on down life's path, believing, trusting, hoping for the full manifestation of everything that God has promised us? That's a question all of us have to answer, especially in times that we don't see and don't understand why certain things happen. Even though things have happened in most of our past that we wish probably hadn't happened, I still believe the best of what God has is ahead of us. And if we can trust that, truly trust Him to walk us through that, we'll see just how good He is. I want to read two sections of scriptures, one out of Matthew and one out of Luke, and just look at them just for a second. Matthew 7:9-11 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you who are," "who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" That's who He is. But I want you to look now at at Luke 7:9, and let's compare the two. "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" You say, why is that so different? Because in John 16:12 it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." So if God is saying up here, He's saying, listen, we understand, at least at this point, maybe God will show you a different revelation later on, but we understand, if your kid's hungry, you're going to try to find some food for him. Okay? You're going to try to find some food for him. And that's how good God is. He says, if you ask, if you knock, if you seek, you will find. Okay? But then in Luke says, He will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is truth. And when we have that truth, we can hang on to it and walk in the truth that he has for us. He will guide you into all truth. Remember what it said up in Proverbs? He will lead you in every decision you make. You merge those two together. He will lead you in all truth, and he will lead you in every decision you make. You can't ask to be in a better place. Trusting God and trusting in his process is what walking this Christian life out is all about. Realizing that he's given you the Holy Spirit, he will give you the answers, the decisions that you need as you go through life. Maybe some of those answers might not come right now, but the things that you need to go through day to day, he'll give to you. But it's a matter of trusting in him. We've got to trust him. I mean, even our forefathers knew enough to put on our money in God we trust. Now, there's people trying to take it off because they just don't know who Daddy is. That's the only problem. They're not evil. They just don't know. And so our prayer is that God just give them a revelation. So let me just encourage you as you go through each day. Maybe you have to do like I do and say, I trust him, I trust him, I trust him, I trust him. Whatever it takes to just realize he knows best. He knows what's right. He knows what's good for us as we walk through life. So let me pray over you this morning. Oh, Tom, okay, you got something?
The Lord gave me something to share with you. You all know the scripture about building your house on sand or building it on a firm foundation. Well, you could still build on a firm foundation and the storm won't wash your foundation away, but you still got to anchor your house to the foundation. And every day that we trust God, we shoot another anchor bolt in there. And you put enough anchor bolts in there, and it doesn't matter what storm comes along, it can't blow your house off that foundation. Doesn't matter. Just in Heather's case, she's shot lots of bolts into her foundation through her life, and she's gone through the biggest storm any of us will probably ever go through, but it still can't knock her house off the foundation. And every time something like that happens to me, God takes me to the same story, because I haven't gotten everything that I trusted the Lord for in the timing that I wanted it. But I've got enough things that I've shot enough anchor bolts in. And there's some people in the Old Testament that didn't even know about some of the stuff we have access to. King Nebuchadnezzar built a big image. And he said, everybody's going to bow down to it when the music plays. So some of his astrologers and people came up and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they don't care a thing about you. When that music plays, they don't bow down. So what are you going to do about it? So the king called them in and told them, I give you one more chance, because he liked them. He had them in charge of stuff. And he said, when the music plays, you need to bow down to the image that I've built, and then everything will be okay. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fire. And what God can rescue you from that? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. So they're convinced. But you know, it doesn't anywhere in that story say that God came to them and gave them a word. When the king comes to get you, I'm going to save you from the fire. So you just tell him whatever you want to tell him. That was just built upon the trust that they had in their God. They didn't know how it was going to go. They were pretty sure how it would go, but they didn't know 100% for sure. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, we'll not serve your gods or worship your image of gold you have set up. The king is furious, tells him to turn the fire up 7 times harder. I think God let that happen just so that it would prove to everybody the fire is nice and hot. Killed all the soldiers that threw him in. King Nebuchadnezzar leaps to his feet with amazement because he says, you know, weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire? And they said, certainly, O king. Well, look, I see 4 men walking around unbound, unburned, and the 4th looks like a son of God. And King Nebuchadnezzar then declared that nobody could say anything wrong about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, and if they did, they'd be cut into pieces. They had their anchor bolts in. You've put anchor bolts into your foundation as well. Keep putting them in there, and it doesn't matter what kind of storm comes along, you will still trust God, regardless of what results you may or may not have seen yesterday.
Amen. Good word, Tom.